Luke took a deep breath and jumped out into air. The heart-halting transit was accomplished in less time than that thought. In a moment, Luke was on the other side, scrambling on his knees to make sure they didn't fall back into the pit. Leia rolled forward into the open hatchway, climbing gracefully to her feet as Luke fought to untangle himself from the cable. A distant whine became a loud hiss, then a groan as the hatch door on the other side gave way. A few bolts struck the wall nearby. Luke returned the fire even as Leia was pulling him into the passageway behind. Once clear of the door, he hit the activating switch. It shut tightly behind them. They would have several minutes at least without having to worry about being shot in the back. On the other hand, Luke didn't have the slightest idea where they were, and he found himself wondering what had happened to Han and Chewbacca. Solo and his Wookiee partner had succeeded in shaking their pursuers. "Hurry, Chewie," Solo urged. The Wookiee growled something at him, but his partner fairly fluoresced with confidence. "Of course I can find the ship from here. Corellians can't get lost." There came another accusing growl. Solo shrugged. "Tenepel doesn't count. He wasn't a Corellian. Besides, I was drunk." Ben Kenobi ducked into the shadows of a narrow passageway, seeming to become part of the metal itself as a large cluster of troopers hurried past him. Just another two turns, and he should be at the hangar. Ben sensed something directly ahead and slowed cautiously. It had a most familiar feel to it, a half-remembered mental odor he could not quite place. Then, the figure stepped out in front of him, blocking his entry to the hangar. Kenobi's hand moved naturally to the hilt of his deactivated saber.
"I have been waiting a long time, Obi-Wan Kenobi," Darth Vader intoned solemnly. "We meet again at last. The circle has been completed. You were once my teacher, and I learned much from you. But the time of learning has long passed, and I am the master now. Old man, you should never have come back. It will make your end less peaceful than you might have wished."
"You sense only a part of the Force, Darth. As always, you perceive its reality as little as a utensil perceives the taste of food."
Kenobi lunged at the massive shape. Vader blocked the stab with equal speed, riposting with a counter-slash that Kenobi barely parried. Another parry, and Kenobi countered again, using this opportunity to move around the towering Dark Lord. They continued to trade blows, with the old man now backing toward the hangar. 3PO peeked around the entrance to the docking bay, worriedly counting the number of troopers milling around the deserted freighter. Where could they be? He ducked back out of sight, just as one of the guards glanced in his direction. A second, more cautious appraisal was more rewarding. It revealed Han Solo and Chewbacca hugging the wall of another tunnel on the far side of the bay. Solo also was nonplussed at the number of guards. "Didn't we just leave this party?" Chewbacca grunted, and both turned, only to relax at the sight of Luke and the princess. "What kept you?" Solo quipped mirthlessly. Luke was staring at the freighter. "Is the ship all right?"
"Seems okay," was Solo's analysis. "The problem's gonna be getting to it."
Leia suddenly pointed to one of the opposite tunnels. "Look!" Illuminated by the flare from contacting energy fields, Ben Kenobi and Darth Vader were backing toward the bay. The fight attracted the attention of others beside the Senator. Every one of the guards moved in for a better view of the Olympian conflict.
"Now's our chance," Solo observed, starting forward.
All seven of the troopers guarding the ship broke and rushed toward the combatants. 3PO barely ducked aside as they ran past him.
"Unplug yourself, R2. We're leaving."
the two droids began to edge out into the open bay. Kenobi heard the approaching commotion and spared a glance back into the hangar. He was trapped. Vader took immediate advantage of the momentary distraction to bring his saber over and down. Kenobi somehow managed to deflect the sweeping blow, at once parrying and turning a complete circle.
You still have your skill, but your power fades. Prepare to meet the Force, Obi-Wan.
Kenobi turned a pitying gaze on Vader.
This is a fight you cannot win, Darth. If my blade finds its mark, you will cease to exist. But if you cut me down, I will only become more powerful.
Your philosophies no longer confuse me, old man.
Vader growled contemptuously. He lunged forward, feinting, and then slashing in a deadly downward arc with the saber. It struck home, cutting the old man cleanly in half. There was a brief flash as Kenobi's cloak fluttered to the deck in two neat sections. But Ben Kenobi was not in it. Vader poked at the empty cloak sections. There was no sign of the old man. He had vanished as though he had never existed. Once the guards had turned and dashed for the far tunnel, Solo and the others started for the starship, until Luke saw Kenobi cut in two. Instantly, he shifted direction and was moving toward the guards.
Ben!
He screamed, firing wildly toward the troops. One of the energy bolts struck the safety release on the tunnel blast door. The emergency hold broken, the heavy door fairly exploded downward. Both the guards and Vader leaped clear. The guards into the bay, and Vader backward to the opposite side of the door. Solo paused as he saw Luke running toward the guards.
It's too late, Leia yelled at him. It's over.
No,
Luke half shouted, half sobbed. A familiar voice rang in his ears. Ben's voice.
Luke, listen.
Bewildered, Luke turned to hunt for the source of that admonition. He only saw Leia beckoning to him as she followed R2 and 3PO up the ramp.
Come on, there's no time.
Hesitating, his mind still on that imagined voice, Luke whirled and retreated into the freighter. Inside, Chewbacca and Solo adjusted controls.
I hope that old man managed to knock out that tractor beam, the Corellian was saying, or this is going to be a very short ride.
Solo shifted a lever. The massive bay door was constructed to respond to the approach of any vessel. The safety feature now served to facilitate their escape as the freighter slipped quickly past the still opening door and out into free space.
Nothing, Solo sighed. Not so much as an Urg have come hither. He did it all right.
Chewbacca rumbled something, and the pilot's attention shifted to another series of gauges.
Whirling, Solo ran out of the cockpit. Come with me, kid, he shouted at Luke as he entered the hold. We're not out of this yet.
Luke joined Solo. He found himself in a large, rotating bubble protruding from the side of the ship. A long, wicked-looking tube projected from the apex of the transparent hemisphere. Luke settled himself into the seat and commenced a rapid study of the controls. Activator here, firing grip here. He had fired such weapons 1,000 times before, in his dreams. Forward, Chewbacca and Leia were searching the speckled pit outside for the attacking fighters represented by fire pricks on several screens. Chewbacca suddenly growled throatily and pulled back on several controls as Leia let out a yelp.
Here they come!
The starfield wheeled around Luke as an Imperial TIE fighter raced toward him and then swung overhead to vanish into the distance. Its pilot frowned as the supposedly battered freighter darted out of range. Adjusting his own controls, he swung up and over in a high arc intended to take him on a fresh intercept course with the escaping ship. Two fighters dove simultaneously on the twisting, spiraling freighter, trying to line their weapons on the unexpectedly flexible craft. Solo fired at the descending globes, and Luke followed with his own weapon a second later. Both fired on the starship and then shot past. "They're coming in too fast," Luke yelled. Another enemy bolt struck the freighter and was barely shunted aside by its deflectors. Then, a fighter floated down on the freighter right into Luke's sights. He fired at it. The incredibly agile little vessel darted out of his range, but as it passed beneath them, Solo picked it up instantly and commenced a steady following fire. Without warning, the fighter erupted in an incredible flash of multicolored light. Solo whirled and gave Luke a victory wave, which the younger man gleefully returned. Then they turned back to their weapons as yet another fighter stormed over the freighter's hull, firing at its transmitter dish. Luke tried to relax, to become a part of the weapon. Almost without being aware of it, he was firing at a retreating Imperial. When he blinked, it was to see the flaming fragments of the enemy craft forming a perfect ball of light outside the turret. In the cockpit, Leia searched the sky for additional ships. She directed her voice toward an open mic. "There are still two more of them out there. Looks like we've lost the lateral monitors and the starboard reflector shield."
"Don't worry," Solo told her. "She'll hold together."
He gave the walls a pleading stare.
"You hear me, ship? Hold together."
A TIE fighter materialized out of nowhere, energy bolts reaching out from it toward him. Its companion craft came up on the freighter's other side, and Luke found himself firing steadily at it, ignoring the immensely powerful energy it threw at him. At the last possible instant, he swung the weapon's nozzle minutely, his finger tightening on the fire control. The Imperial fighter turned into a cloud of phosphorescing dust. The other fighter considered the shrunken odds, turned, and retreated at top speed.
"We've made it!" Leia shouted,
turning to give the startled Wookiee an unexpected hug. He growled at her very softly. Vader strode into the control room where Governor Tarkin stood staring at a huge screen.
"Are they away?"
the Dark Lord demanded. "They've just completed the jump to hyperspace," Tarkin said. "I'm taking an awful chance, Vader. This had better work." Vader exuded confidence.
"There is nothing to fear. This will be a day long remembered. It has seen the end of the Jedi. Soon, it will see the end of the rebellion."
Yavin was not a habitable world. Several of the giant planet's numerous moons, however, could support humanoid life. Particularly inviting was satellite number 4. It shone like an emerald in Yavin's necklace of moons, rich with plant and animal life. But it was not listed among those worlds supporting human settlement. Yavin was located too far from the settled regions of the galaxy. Perhaps the latter reason had been responsible for whatever race had once risen from Satellite 4's jungles, only to disappear quietly long before the first human explorer set foot on the tiny world. All that remained were the mounds and foliage-clad clumps formed by jungle-covered temples. But though the inhabitants had sunk back into the dust, their artifacts continued to serve an important purpose. A land speeder came to a gradual stop within the temple, whose first level was the uppermost of those ship-filled hangars. A noisy cluster of humans waiting nearby ceased their conversation and rushed toward the craft. Fortunately, Leia quickly emerged from the speeder, or the man who reached it first might have pulled her bodily from it, so great was his delight at the sight of her.
"You're safe.
We'd feared you'd been killed. When we heard about Alderaan, we were afraid that you were lost along with the rest of the population."
"We don't have time for sorrows, Commander," Leia said briskly. "The battle station has surely tracked us here."
Solo started to protest, but she shut him up with a stern look.
"That's the only explanation for the ease of our escape. They sent only 4 TIE fighters after us. They could as easily have launched 100.
Then Leia gestured at R2-D2.
"You must use the information locked in this R2 droid to form a plan of attack. It's our only hope. The station itself is more powerful than anyone suspected.
Her voice dropped. If the data does not yield a weakness, there will be no stopping them.
The central briefing room was located deep within the bowels of the temple. The auditorium was dominated by a raised dais and huge electronic display screen at its far end. Pilots, navigators, and a sprinkling of R2 units filled the seats. Impatient and feeling very out of place, Han Solo and Chewbacca stood as far away from the stage, with its assemblage of officers and senators, as possible. Solo scanned the crowd, searching for Luke. The crazy kid had gone and joined the regular pilots. A tall, dignified gentleman moved to stand by the far side of the screen. General Dodonna adjusted the tiny mic on his chest.
The Imperial Battle Station is approaching from the far side of Yavin and its sun. It must be stopped before it can bring its weaponry to bear on us as it did on Alderaan.
A murmur ran through the crowd at the mention of that world so callously obliterated.
The station, Dodonna went on, is heavily shielded and mounts more firepower than half the Imperial fleet. But its defenses were designed to fend off large-scale assaults. A small one- or two-man fighter should be able to slip through its defensive screens.
A slim, supple man rose.
Dodonna acknowledged his presence.
What is it, Red Leader?
The man gestured toward the display screen.
Pardon me, sir. What good are snub fighters going to be against that?
Dodonna considered.
Well, the Empire doesn't think a one-man fighter is any threat. But an analysis of the plans provided by Princess Leia have revealed what we think is a weakness. It's a small thermal exhaust port that runs directly into the main reactor system powering the station. A direct hit would initiate a chain reaction that would destroy the station.
Mutterings of disbelief ran through the room.
I didn't say your approach would be easy, Dodonna gestured at the screen. You must maneuver straight in down this shaft and skim the surface to this point. The target is only 2 meters across. It will take a precise hit to reach the reactor. And only a direct hit will start the complete reaction. The port wasn't particle shielded. However, it is completely ray shielded. You'll have to use proton torpedoes.
A few of the pilots laughed humorlessly. One of them was a teenaged fighter jockey named Wedge Antilles.
A 2-meter target at maximum speed, Antilles snorted. That's impossible even for the computer.
It's not impossible, protested Luke. I used a bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
With all that firepower on the station directed at us, this will take a little more than barnyard marksmanship, believe me. Remember, the general went on, you must achieve a direct hit. Yellow squadron will cover for red on the first run. Green will cover blue on the second. Man your ships, and may the force be with you.
Elevators hummed busily, lifting deadly shapes from buried depths to the primary temple hangar as Luke, 3PO, and R2-D2 walked toward the hangar entrance. Solo and Chewbacca were loading a pile of strongboxes onto an armed land speeder.
You got your reward, Luke observed, indicating the boxes. And you're leaving them. That's right, kid. I've got some old debts to pay off, and even if I didn't, I don't think I'd be fool enough to stick around here.
He eyed Luke appraisingly.
You're pretty good in a scrap, kid. Why don't you come with us? I could use you.
The mercenary gleam in Solo's eyes only made Luke mad.
Why don't you look around you and see something besides yourself for a change? You know what's going to happen here, what they're up against. They could use a good pilot, but you're turning your back on them.
Solo didn't appear upset at Luke's tirade.
Attacking that battle station isn't my idea of courage. More like suicide.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, Han,
Luke said quietly.
But I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
He started back into the hangar depths, flanked by the two droids.
I only wish, Luke murmured to himself.
Ben were here. So intent was he on thoughts of Kenobi that he didn't notice the larger figure which tightly locked onto his arm. Biggs! Luke embraced his friend warmly.
I don't believe it, Biggs yelled. Luke Skywalker, how'd you get here? Are you going with us?
Luke said, of course, I'll be up there with you. Listen, have I got some stories to tell you?
I've got to get aboard my own boat, Luke. Listen, you'll tell me your stories when we come back.
His old friend was moving toward a cluster of waiting fighters.
It's going to be like old times, Luke. We're a couple of shooting stars that can't be stopped.
Luke laughed. They used to reassure themselves with that cry when they piloted starships of sandhills and dead logs years and years ago. Once more, Luke turned toward his ship, admiring its deadly lines. R2-D2 was being snuggled into the R2 socket behind the fighter cockpit. A forlorn metal figure stood below, shuffling nervously about.
Hold on tight, C-3PO was cautioning the smaller robot. You've got to come back. If you don't come back, who am I going to have to yell at?
R2 beeped confidently down at his friend, however, as Luke mounted the cockpit entry. Luke commenced the final checkout of all instruments. Leia sat silently before the huge display screen on which Yavin and its moons were displayed. A large red dot moved steadily toward the fourth of those satellites. Dodonna and several other field commanders of the Alliance stood behind her, their eyes also intent on the screen. Tiny green flecks began to appear around the fourth moon to coalesce into small clouds like hovering emerald gnats.
Our ships are all away, Dodonna declared.
Slowly assuming attack formations, combining X and Y wing ships, the fighters began to move outward from the moon, out to meet the technologic executioner. Ahead, the Imperial Station continued to grow. Surface features became visible as docking bays, broadcast antennae, and other man-made mountains and canyons. Luke flipped several switches above his head and began adjusting his computer target readout. R2-D2 re-examined the nearing station and thought untranslatable electronic thoughts. Blue Leader compared the station with the location of their proposed target area.
Red Leader, he called. This is Blue Leader. We're in position. The exhaust shaft is farther to the north. We'll keep them busy down here.
Red Leader was the physical opposite of Luke's squadron commander. He resembled the popular notion of a credit accountant. Short, slim, shy of face. His skills and dedication, however, easily matched those of his counterpart and old friend.
We're starting for the target shaft now, Dutch. Stand by to take over if anything happens.
Check, Red Leader, came the other's reply. We're going to cross their equatorial access and try to draw their main fire. May the Force be with you.
From the approaching swarm, two squads of fighters broke clear. The X-wing ships dove directly for the bulge of the station far below, while the Y-ships curved down and northward over its surface. Within the station, alarm sirens began a mournful, clangorous wail as slow-to-react personnel realized that the impregnable fortress was actually under organized attack. Soon, a web of annihilation began to envelop the station as energy weapons ripped out at the oncoming rebel craft.
This is Blue 5, Luke announced as he nosedived his ship in a radical attempt to confuse any electronic predictors below.
The gray surface of the battle station streaked past his ports.
I'm going in. I'm right behind you, Blue 5, Biggs said.
The target in Luke's sights was as stable as that of the Imperial defenders was evasive. Bolts flew from a tiny vessel's weapon. One started a huge fire on the dim surface below. Energy bolts and sunbright beams continued to create a chromatic maze in the space above the station as the rebel fighters crisscrossed back and forth over its surface, firing at whatever looked like a decent target. Two of the tiny craft concentrated on a power terminal.
It blew up, throwing lightning-sized electric arcs from the station's innards. Inside, troopers, mechanicals, and equipment were blown in all directions by subsidiary explosions as the effects of the blast traveled back down various conduits and cables. Where the explosion had hulled the station, escaping atmosphere sucked helpless soldiers and droids out into a bottomless black tomb. Moving from position to position, a figure of dark calm amid the chaos was Darth Vader. A harried commander rushed up to him.
Lord Vader, we count at least 30 of them. They're so small, the fixed guns cannot follow them accurately. They continuously evade the predictors.
Get all TIE crews to their fighters. We'll have to go out after them and destroy them, ship by ship.
The atmosphere of the war room back in the temple was one of nervous expectancy. Blinks and buzzes from the main battle screen sounded louder. Near a far corner of the mass of flickering lights, a technician leaned a little closer to his own readouts before speaking into the pickup suspended near his mouth.
Squad leaders, attention! We've picked up a new set of signals. Enemy fighters coming your way.
Tighten it up, Blue 2. Tighten it up, Blue Leader was saying. Watch those towers.
Heavy fire, boss,
came the voice of Wedge Antilles, the young pilot Luke had encountered at the briefing.
23 degrees.
I see it. Pull in, pull in. We're picking up some interference.
I can't believe it, Biggs was stammering. I've never seen such firepower.
Pull in, Blue 5, pull in.
A pause, then...
Luke, do you read me? Luke!
I'm all right, Chief, came Luke's reply. I've got a target. I'm gonna check it out.
There's too much action down there, Luke, Biggs told him. Get out! You read me, Luke? Pull out!
Luke ignored the warning as he headed the fighter straight toward the oddly shaped protuberance. His determination was rewarded when, after saturating it with fire, he saw it erupt in a spectacular ball of super-hot gas.
Got it!
Within the Rebel Temple Fortress, Leia listened intently. Why is Luke taking so many chances? She strained to see what she could only hear. She wasn't alone.
Help him, R2! 3PO was whispering to himself, and keep holding on.
It was comparatively quiet near the pole of the battle station. So intense and vicious had been Blue and Green Squadron's assault on the equator that Imperial resistance had concentrated there. Red Leader surveyed the false peace with mournful satisfaction, knowing it wouldn't last for long.
Blue Leader, this is Red Leader, he announced into his mic. We're starting our attack run. The exhaust port is located and marked. No flak, no enemy fighters up here, yet. Looks like we'll get at least one smooth run at it.
I copy, Red Leader, the voice of his counterpart responded. We'll try to keep them busy down here.
Three Y-wing fighters dropped out of the stars, diving toward the battle station surface. At the last possible minute, they swerved to dip into a deep artificial canyon, one of many streaking the northern pole of the Death Star. Red Leader addressed his squadron.
This is it, boys. Switch all power to front deflector screens.
Imperial crews, lining the trench, rudely awoke to the fact that their section of the station was coming under attack. Soon, energy bolts were racing at the attacking ships in a steadily increasing volume. Occasionally, one would explode near an onrushing Y-wing, jostling it without real damage.
A little aggressive, aren't they?
Red 2 reported over his mic. Red Leader reacted quietly.
How many guns do you think, Red 5?
Red 5, known casually as Pops, somehow managed to make an estimate of the trench's defenses while simultaneously piloting his fighter through the growing hail of fire.
I'd say about 20 emplacements, he finally decided. Some in the surface and some on the towers.
Red Leader acknowledged the information with a grunt as he pulled his computer targeting visor down in front of his face. Explosions continued to rock the fighter.
Switch to targeting computers, he declared.
Pops was cool and confident, but he murmured half to himself.
No doubt about it. Oh, this is going to be some trick.
Unexpectedly, all defensive fire from the surrounding emplacements ceased.
What's this?
Red 2 blurted, looking around worriedly.
They stopped.
Why?
I don't like it,
growled Red Leader. Pops was first to properly evaluate this aberration.
Stabilize your rear deflectors now. Watch for enemy fighters.
You pinned it, Pops, Red Leader admitted. Here they come. Three marks at 210. We're sitting ducks down here.
We'll just have to ride it out, Pops told them all. We can't defend ourselves and go for the target at the same time.
38104, Darth Vader announced as he calmly adjusted his controls. The stars whipped past him. I'll take them myself. Cover me.
Red 2 was the first to die. The young pilot never knowing what hit him, never seeing his executioner. Despite his experience, Red Leader was on the verge of panic when he saw his wingman dissolve in flames.
We're trapped down here. No way to maneuver. Trench walls are too close. Stay on target, admonished an older voice. Stay on target.
Red Leader took Pops' words like tonic. Above them, Vader permitted himself a moment of undisciplined pleasure as he readjusted his targeting computer. Again, Vader touched finger to the fire control. Something screeched in Red Leader's helmet, and fire started to consume his instrumentation.
It's no good, he yelled into his pickup. I'm hit! I'm hit!
A second Y-wing exploded in a ball of vaporized metal. This second loss proved too much even for Red 5 to take. His ship commenced rising in a slow curve out of the trench. Behind him, the lead Imperial fighter moved to follow.
Red 5 to Blue Leader, he reported. A boarding run under heavy fire. TIE fighters dropped on us out of nowhere. Lost Tyree, lost Dutch, Pops explained. They drop in behind you. Sorry, I...
It was the last message from a veteran. A stern, a silent, remorseless enemy touched a deadly button. The first bolts struck Pops, and his engine blew apart. Blue Leader forced a crispness he didn't feel into his voice as he tried to shunt aside the death of his old friend.
Boys, this is Blue Leader. Rendezvous at Mark 6.1. Blue 10, Blue 12. Join with me. Blue 5, this is Blue Leader, Luke. Take Blue 2 and 3 with you. Hold up here out of their fire and wait for my signal to start your own run.
Copy, Blue Leader, Luke acknowledged.
All three X-Wings reached the surface, leveled off, then arced into the trench. His wingmen dropped farther and farther behind until Blue Leader was seemingly alone in the vast gray chasm. Suddenly, intense streaks of light began to shoot close by as the trench defenses opened up. Near misses shook the attackers.
It's not gonna be easy, Blue Leader declared grimly. Stand by to close up a little when I tell you.
Abruptly, the energy bolts ceased, and all was silent and dark in the trench once again.
This is it, Blue Leader announced. Keep your eyes open for those fighters. All short and long-range scopes are blank, Blue 10 reported tensely. Too much interference here. Blue 5, can you see them from where you are?
Luke's attention was riveted to the surface of the station.
No sign... Wait!
Three rapidly moving points of light caught his eye.
There they are! Coming in, 0.35.
Blue Leader's tracking scope suddenly began a steady beeping.
I'm almost in range. Target's ready. Coming up. Just hold them off me for a few seconds. Keep them busy.
But Darth Vader was already setting his own fire control as he dropped like a stone toward the trench.
Close up the formation. I'll take them myself.
Blue 12 went first. Both engines blown. A slight deviation in flight path, and his ship slammed into the trench wall. Blue 10 slowed and accelerated, bobbed drunkenly, but could do little within the confines of those metal walls.
I can't hold them long. You'd better fire while you can, Blue Leader. We're closing on you.
The squadron commander was wholly absorbed in lining up two circles within his targeting visor.
We're almost home. Steady, steady.
Blue 10 glanced around frantically.
They're right behind me.
Blue Leader was amazed at how calm he was.
Almost there,
he whispered. Then the two circles matched, turned red, and a steady buzzing sounded in his helmet.
Torpedoes away!
Immediately after, Blue 10 let his own missiles loose. Both fighters pulled up sharply, just clearing the end of the trench as several explosions billowed in their wake.
It's a hit! We've done it! Blue 10 shouted hysterically.
Blue Leader's reply was thick with disappointment.
No, we haven't. They didn't go in. They just exploded on the surface.
Disappointment killed them, too, as they neglected to watch behind them. Three pursuing Imperial fighters continued up out of the fading light from the torpedo explosions. Blue 10 fell to Vader's precision fire. Then the Dark Lord changed course slightly to fall in behind the squadron commander. It was less than a minute before Blue Leader's gyrating X-Wing plowed into the surface of the station.
We just lost Blue Leader, Luke said. Close it up, Wedge. Biggs, where are you?
Coming in right behind you,
Wedge replied soon after.
Okay, boss, we're in position.
The three X-Wings moved close together, high above the battle station's surface. Someone's voice sounded in his ears. It was a young, old voice. A familiar voice.
Trust your feelings, Luke,
was all the Kenobi-like voice said. Luke tapped his helmet, unsure whether he had heard anything or not. The steely horizon of the station tilted behind him.
Wedge, Biggs, we're going in. We'll go in full speed. Maybe that'll keep those fighters far enough behind us.
We'll stay far enough back to cover you, Biggs declared. At that speed, will you be able to pull out in time?
Are you kidding? It'll be just like Beggar's Canyon back home.
Luke commenced his dive toward the surface. Wedge and Biggs followed just aft.
Let's go, Luke.
A voice he had heard before sounded inside his head again. Again he tapped his helmet and looked around, but there was nothing. Puzzled, Luke turned back to his controls. Energy bolts reached out for them, passing harmlessly on both sides as the surface of the battle station charged up into space. Additional tireless explosions continued to buffet the three fighters as they dropped into the trench. Biggs and Wedge dropped behind to cover for Luke as he reached to pull down the targeting visor. A peculiar hesitation swept through him. His hand was slowed as he finally pulled the device down in front of his eyes, almost as if the nerves were in conflict with one another. The energy beams stopped as if on signal, and he was barreling down the trench unchallenged.
Here we go,
Wedge declared as he spotted three Imperial fighters dropping down on them. Biggs and Wedge began crossing behind Luke, trying to draw the coming fire away from him and confuse their pursuers. One TIE fighter ignored the maneuvers, continuing to gain inexorably on the rebel ships. Luke stared into the targeting device, then reached up slowly to move it aside. For a long minute, he pondered the deactivated instrument, staring at it as if hypnotized. Then he slid it sharply back in front of his face and studied the tiny screen as it displayed the shifting relationship of the X-Wing to the nearing exhaust port.
Hurry, Luke,
Biggs called out as he wrenched his ship in time to narrowly avoid a powerful beam.
They're coming in faster this time. We can't hold them much longer.
With inhuman precision, Darth Vader depressed the fire control of his fighter again. A loud, desperate shout sounded over the speakers, blending into a final, agonized scream of flesh and metal as Biggs's fighter burst into a billion glowing splinters that rained down on the bottom of the trench. Wedge heard the explosion over his speakers and hunted frantically behind him for the trailing enemy ships.
We lost Biggs, he yelled toward his own pickup.
Luke didn't reply immediately. His eyes were watering, and he angrily wiped them clear. We're a couple of shooting stars, Biggs, and we'll never be stopped. Then his ship rocked slightly from a near miss.
Close it up, Wedge. You can't do any more good back there. R2, try to give me a little more power on our rear deflectors.
The R2 unit hurried to comply as Wedge pulled up alongside Luke's ship. The trailing TIE fighters also increased their speed.
I'm on the leader, Vader informed his soldiers. Take the other one.
Energy bolts from the pursuing Imperials began to streak close about them. Wedge was fighting with his controls when several small flashes and sparks lit his control board. One small panel exploded, leaving molten slag behind. Somehow he managed to retain control of the ship.
I've got a bad malfunction, Luke. I can't stay with you.
Okay, Wedge, get clear.
Wedge mumbled a heartfelt,
sorry,
and peeled up out of the trench.
All three TIE fighters continued to chase the remaining X-Wing down the trench. It was only a matter of moments before one of them caught the bobbing fighter with a crippling burst. Except now there were only two Imperials pursuing. The third had become an expanding cylinder of decomposing debris, bits and pieces of which slammed into the walls of the canyon. Vader's remaining wingmen looked around in panic for the source of the attack. Only when the freighter fully eclipsed the sun forward did the new threat become visible. It was a Corellian transport, far larger than any fighter, and was diving directly at the trench. But it didn't move precisely like a freighter somehow. Whoever was piloting that vehicle must have been unconscious or out of his mind, the wingman decided. Wildly, he adjusted controls in an attempt to avoid the anticipated collision. The freighter swept by just overhead, but in avoiding it, the wingman slid too far to one side. A small explosion followed as two huge fins of the paralleling TIE fighters intersected. Screaming uselessly into his pickup, the wingman fluttered toward the near-trench wall. He never touched it, his ship erupting in flame before contact. To the other side, Darth Vader's fighter began spinning helplessly. Completely out of control, the tiny ship continued spinning out into the endless reaches of deep space. The supple freighter soared high above the trench, turning to run protectively above Luke.
"You're all cleared now, kid," a familiar voice informed him. "Now, blow this thing so we can all go home."
Luke looked up through the canopy and smiled. But his smile faded as he turned back to the targeting visor. There was a tickling inside his head.
"Luke, trust me,"
the tickle requested, forming words for the third time. He stared into the targeter. The emergency exhaust port was sliding toward the firing circle. He hesitated, but only briefly this time, then shoved the targeting screen aside. Closing his eyes, and with the confidence of a blind man in familiar surroundings, Luke moved a thumb over several controls, then touched one. Soon after, a concerned voice filled the cockpit from the open speakers. "Base 1 to Blue 5, your targeting device is switched off. What's wrong?"
"Nothing," Luke murmured, barely audible. "Nothing."
He blinked and cleared his eyes. Had he been asleep? Looking around, he saw that he was out of the trench and shooting back into open space. A glance outside showed the familiar shape of Han Solo's ship shadowing him. Another at the control board indicated that he had released his torpedoes, although he couldn't remember touching the firing stud. Still, he must have. The cockpit speakers were alive with excitement.
"You did it! You did it!"
Wedge was shouting over and over.
"I think they went right in!"
"Good shot, kid,"
Solo complimented him, having to raise his voice to be heard over Chewbacca's unrestrained howling. Distant, muted rumblings shook Luke's ship, an omen of incipient success. He must have fired the torpedoes, mustn't he? Gradually, he regained his composure.
"Glad you were here to see it. Now, let's get some distance between us and that thing before it goes. I hope Wedge was right."
Several X-Wings, Y-Wings, and one battered-looking freighter accelerated away from the battle station, racing toward the distant curve of Yavin. Behind them, small flashes of fading light marked the receding station. Without warning, something appeared in the sky in place of it, which was brighter than the glowing gas giant, brighter than its far-off sun. For a few seconds, the eternal night became day. No one dared look directly at it. Not even multiple shields set on high could dim that awesome flare.
This has been a Time Warner Audiobooks presentation of Star Wars, narrated by Tony Roberts. Executive producer John Wynn. Produced and directed by Kevin Thompson. Novelization by George Lucas. Abridgment by John Whitman. Music composed by John Williams. Sound effects supplied by Skywalker Sound. This presentation was produced under license with Lucasfilm Limited.